You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard
it
Show
is
with
for Stugatz
podcast.
To share his game notes.
No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery. Dan, we mocked him and his appearance in 2017, while as head coach, he led the New York Giants to a 2-10 record. He was fired after just 28 games at a place where no one gets fired. He went away for a while and quietly came back in 2020 as the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback coach, where he was fired after just one season. He spent last season consulting the Cowboys on how to lose. But Dan, for reasons only they will ever know, the Carolina Panthers looked at that resume and said to themselves, that's our guy. That's our next offensive coordinator. And Dan, just like that, Ben McAdoo,
yes,
is back.
Yes.
The G-men, the Jags, OC. Speaking of back, hello, Grayson Allen.
Oh,
you see that one?
Yes.
You got a game.
Suspended for a game for injuring Caruso. One game.
Markieff Morris still isn't back.
Really?
Yeah. You alluded to him faking it.
I did.
That was as dirty as you'll see in that sport.
The Grayson Allen.
Yes.
He got one game. That guy's out 6 to 8 weeks. It's pretty bad. Dan, I know you. And I'm begging you, don't think about it. Certainly don't say it. I care about you. You thought about it over the weekend, didn't you?
Thought about what?
Well, Brady was done.
He made us think about it with that strategic leak that you think is just to keep Byron Leftwich there.
It'd be a good play, right? Leverage play?
Here's my prediction.
Maybe he doesn't like Arians.
I think it's far more likely that Aaron Rodgers retires than Tom Brady does.
Wow.
Is that a Mike Ryan exclusive?
Give yourself a beep or something.
I'm just like talking shit. That was the sports radio topic. Just wanted to say it.
It's been said.
That loss may have been Tom Brady's greatest victory ever.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Was that loss Tom Brady's greatest victory?
You freeze went 35-19 at Mississippi with Dawson Knox, DK Metcalf, and A.J. Brown. He should never coach again.
I thought you were telling Dan that he was freezing something. It is cold here.
It is cold. We all broke out our winter gear. But the rest of the country is suffering a lot more than us. We dipped into the low 50s today, and all of us went into parts of our closet that we haven't been in 5 years.
It's 46. There's iguanas falling out of the sky.
I started my car minutes before I got into the car. How about that?
He did. Stugatz came in here and said he turned on the heaters in his car for the first time in several years.
My only regret is that this didn't happen on a Greg Cody Tuesday, because I would have loved to have seen what Greg Cody found in his closet for a day like today.
It's going
to
be just as cold tomorrow now.
Mid-50s.
High of 74, it says.
Slaps different when it dips into the 40s.
How about that, though? Dawson Knox, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, 35 and 19.
Well, that's why Liberty just gave him $4 million a year, though. He can go get those guys if you're willing to compromise your every moral.
He just can't win with them. Weather, stakes, none of it matters. The Tennessee Titans play that game every week. Dan, we lost a hockey legend over the weekend. Clark Gillies. If you looked at Mike Bossy, funny, at any time during the 1980s, Clark Gillies would beat the living shit out of you.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
Don't believe me? Ask Dave Schultz or Terry O'Reilly.
It's true.
They know.
They do.
Rest in peace, Clark. You are family, entrenched on my top five New York Islanders of all time list.
Family?
Did you misread firmly?
I did.
I thought it was weird that Clark Gillies would be family.
Family.
Listen,
brother.
I live 20 minutes from the Coliseum, and that entire team felt like it was my family.
It was firmly. It was just firmly.
Yeah. Number five.
You read it wrong. Number five, firmlies? Number five, families? What is this? Number five, Islanders.
These are my five greatest Islanders of all time. The Isles. Number five, John Tinelli. Greatest assist in the history of hockey. Tinelli to Nystrom. Flyers. First Stanley Cup. Heart and soul. Number four, Bobby Nystrom. Bobby Nye. He received that pass from John Tinelli. And what did he do, Dan? He put it in the back of the net. And we won a Stanley Cup. Bobby Nye. No helmet, by the way. Number three, Mike Bossy. Boss. Number two, Clark Gillies. Protected Mike Bossy. Also gave you 30, 35 goals. How about that? And number one, Bill Smith. Smitty. I named my cat after him. He died. My cat.
Isn't it Billy Smith? Did they not call him Billy, or they call him Bill Smith? I'm asking genuinely. I'm not correcting
Bill
you.
Smith, Billy Smith, Smitty. I named my cat Smitty. He died. By the way, Clark Gillies was born in Moose Jaw, Canada. Dan, you know what you do if your name is Clark Gillies and you were born in a place called Moose Jaw, Canada?
You protect Mike Bossy.
You play hockey and protect Mike Bossy. Good job out of you. Textbook Titans game. You know what the T in Titans stands for? Textbook. The Bengals should use their next 10 draft picks.
You just said that.
It's not really a riddle, though. It's hard to
give it away. My bad. The Bengals should use their next 10 draft picks on offensive linemen. If you want to know.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Should the Bengals use their next 10 draft picks on offensive linemen?
What did you?
Yeah, it sounds good.
50% clip, you're fine.
Trade for them, free agents, stack them on top of each other's shirt.
Because that receiver's enough.
I got it. Stugatz, you made clear why it is that
I'm
would need
it. I'm glad you agree. You never do.
The receiver and the quarterback, they're good. Protect them.
Yeah. If you want to know what a Tennessee Titan game looks like, it looks like Saturday. If you want to know what football looks like, it looks like Saturday night, Lambeau Field, fourth quarter with the snow coming down. Dan, that's football. The big winner in the Titans-Bengals game was Mike Vrabel's penis.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show, Guillermo. Was the big winner? Big winner.
Is that what he calls it?
Big winner in the Titans-Bengals game, Vrabel's penis.
The Tennessee Titans or a quarterback away. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, the Titans would be in the mix. Joe Burrow and McPherson hugging was the whitest moment in television history since Golic and Wingo. McPherson telling Joe Burrow, it looks like we're headed to the AFC Championship game before nailing the game-winning field goal. Goosebumps, if it's true. If it's not, who cares?
Yeah, it's true. You know what? You're right about that. All right, doesn't even matter if it's true or not.
Should be true.
How is their kicker cockier than their quarterback?
It's amazing.
Well, I think the quarterback likes to tell cocky stories on behalf of everybody.
He just loves cocky stories.
I think that's what's happening there. Burrow every week, I think he might be trolling us for as long as they win. He's going to say that some offensive lineman who catches a thick six or something, some defensive lineman, I think he's going to say, yeah, he told me right before that. He came to me, he called timeout, came to me on the sideline, told me he was going to do that.
Dan, you can't say me and Billy didn't try to tell you. He tanked. The G in Green Bay stands for goodbye. Sean Payton, Dallas Cowboys, collision course.
Does it stand for goodbye? Because I believe that you had the take that Aaron Rodgers is never leaving Green Bay. Is it because you thought he was going to win the title and then not leave?
That was a couple of weeks ago. Last week, the take was the Niners-Packers game was for everything. And by everything, I mean you win, you move on, and you get Aaron Rodgers. That's everything.
Okay.
Shanahan won everything.
That is everything.
You've got Sean Payton leveraging another football job, but he might be in on this commentary game with Amazon getting Thursday Night Football. It seems as though Inkman and Payton are all kind of leveraging playing musical chairs with Fox and Amazon.
Game's about to change, man. The streaming services want in on football, and they are going to spend a lot of money to get in on football.
I mean, how many people watched the game last night? Did we get a rating yet?
I'm going to say all of them.
Everyone.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. How many people watched the game last night and then just put the answer, all of them, and don't give any other options?
The B in Joe Burrow stands for balls and Brady. With KD out, Kyrie Irving should get the shot. He turned the whole thing around and become a savior hero. Plus, instead of one, he'd have two of the greatest shots in NBA history. How about that? Aaron Rodgers said he had a tough decision to make regarding his future. You know what the T in tough decision stands for, Dan?
Oh, for the love of God.
Tanking. Matt LaFleur, do it in the postseason. The San Francisco 49ers, quarterback away, can't believe Tom Brady is a better option on fourth and inches than Derrick Henry. Amazing. Derrick Henry, he can't get inches. That's not what he does. He doesn't like inches. He likes feet, yards.
Inches go into that, though.
I guess so. You can't gain a yard without gaining an inch.
But he doesn't like the inches. That's not the part of the equation he's interested in. I'm with you. He likes yards. Today, though, his feet hurt because he's got screws and metal in them.
If the other team makes Tom Brady's mouth bleed, it should be an automatic touchdown for the Buccaneers. Steph Curry hit his first game winner over the weekend of his career. You know what the C in Curry stands for? Not clutch. Tom Brady, Green Bay Packers, collision course. Tom Brady, do it in the postseason. I guess Matthew Stafford is tall enough to see Odell Beckham Jr. Tom Brady, will that field goal to fall short to keep the lead at 14 points? Matt Gay, revenge game. Los Angeles Rams, the rare win when it seemed like you were trying to lose. We went from Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady to Matthew Stafford versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G, Tampa Bay Bucks, too little too late. The buck doesn't stop here anymore, Dan. It stops at Aaron Donald. That guy's good.
Yeah.
Divisional round, you were everything the super wild card weekend wasn't. Thank you. I haven't confirmed yet, but hearing Mike Vrabel was upset with Ryan Tannehill. Not for losing the game, but from keeping Vrabel away from his beloved overtime. OT. Vrabes. If overtime was a person, Mike Vrabel would marry it. Hey, Tom, Bill Belichick would have told Fournette not to score. New Brady Belichick credit pie chart, Dan.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yes.
99% Tom Brady, 1% Bill Belichick. Big day for Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, he climbed up 0.6% from last week.
Big, big news.
Plus, Jimmy G won. What a day for Belichick. Oh, my God. Jason Tatum, the rare 50 burger with a side of no one was paying attention. Who the hell is Gabriel Davis? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. If you make Brady's mouth bleed, should the Bucks get 7 points or should you get 7 points? It's a good question. And also, let me just, because you brought up our beloved Ben McAdoo.
Yes.
I have to do this.
Okay.
Does Ben McAdoo look like a pirate from an off-strip Vegas show circa 1996? Does Ben McAdoo look like the manager of a struggling hot tub outlet store? Does Ben McAdoo look like divorce?
Yes.
Does Ben McAdoo look like your friend who hates the NBA for being soft and not playing defense like they did when Bird played? Does Ben McAdoo look like the guy who has taken it upon himself to keep the condo pool free of leaves? Does he look like an ESPN classic bowler? Does he look like the guy who married the hottest girl in high school 20 years later and takes care of her 6 kids while she's out at the bar with her ex, Doug Peterson?
That's wrong.
Does Ben McAdoo look like a man who's been lost in Lowe's for 2 hours? Does he look like he's wearing a disguise? Does he look like the instructor in 1980s bus driver training video?
How am I still just learning about some of these?
Doug Peterson.
And does he look like Paul Radke, who is friends with Greg Cody when they were 12 years old?
The Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Lebatard.
I actually thought you looked kind of good.
Stugatz.
Thank you. The beard's grown out a little bit. I got a little life in my face, I feel like. A little tan, Colorado, San Francisco. I had a great time.
You got life on your face.
You've got death on your face.
I think you've got 40 to life on your face.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I'm not doing your dossier.
Look, you got it on tape. He said flatly he's not doing my dossier.
Today, not just...
Oh, yeah, of course you don't want to do my dossier today. Because there is an agenda here, a conspiracy of the highest order.
No, because you've already run people off by making every story today about Mario Cristobal, the University of Miami, and your feud with
Art
Briles' kid.
It was a big time moment.
Yeah, it was.
It inspired a nation.
We will get to your dossier later this week. There's too
later
much
this week. How convenient. And yet my mentions are filled with Backwater Town, Arkansas folks and people telling me to shave my head. Although it's very split right now.
No, it's not.
Very split.
Okay, we'll get to your dossier later this week.
Tidal wave, a tsunami of support to stop the shame.
All right, this is the reason I have to stop you, though. And I think you'll agree with this once I present it to you. Colin Cowherd, who we drubbed with a whole bunch of celebrities, including the world's strongest man in Iceland who knows nothing about American football. I believe that we ended the season 10 games over 500 and he was 10 games under 500 or some ridiculous thing. He is talking to sharps. He is talking to scouts. He is talking to people who break down film. All this knowledge does not help you pick football games against the spread. Colin Cowherd has tweeted, Stugatz, you have an ally. Chris Cody, you have an ally. Stop whining about OT rules. Make a stop. One, Bills had plenty of chances to wrap that puppy up. Didn't. And then CYA next season. See ya. CYA. So put this on the poll, please. Somebody who says wrap that puppy up. Mm-hmm. Douche or no douche? Yes or no?
No douche.
Somebody who writes, see ya, C-Y-E, see ya next season, douche or no douche?
Douche. Josh Allen agrees with Colin Cowherd, by the way. Josh Allen said, I can't complain about that, talking about the overtime rules. We didn't make enough plays. All Josh Allen did was make plays. He made 1,000 plays.
If you're going to change rules, I'm surprised the league didn't immediately change all the quarterbacking safety protection rules to protect lower lips the moment that Tom Brady started bleeding. If you're just going to just change rules the day after seeing amazing football games...
We want to change rules because Mahomes got down the field in 10 seconds. That's it.
9 seconds. They left four on the clock.
Were you surprised to see blood from his lip and not filler?
You see some grays in the hair? Did you see it?
Yeah, he'll address that offseason. Right.
You saw gray in the hair?
The sideburns, that's the first thing that comes through. And so, like, he'll touch that up.
When he was walking off the field, he had blood dripping from his lip, and they showed, and he looked very, very upset. And you saw some grays on the side of his hair.
You've seen the time lapse video on how Tom Brady gets better looking. It's not just that. I don't know exactly what I'm alleging, but his eyes are in a different place. He's a different human being than he was when he broke in.
Are Tom Brady's eyes in a different place than they used to be? Parenthetically, we don't know what we're alleging here. We don't know the procedure that moves the eyes.
But it's an upgrade, right? It's why 2021 Tom Brady was my best looking quarterback to win a Super Bowl of all time.
It's why I want to know the secret.
Right, so do
because
I.
Because... Troy Aikman's out there seeing the time lapse, and he's like, am I crazy? Or he gets better looking with age. No, you're not crazy. It's true. He's done something. And I refuse to believe it's just simply not eating almonds.
But you don't know what it is. No almonds, no strawberries.
No, I'm pretty sure it's filler.
You also don't know what you're alleging. Well, wait a minute.
Redlift? You think so?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's a thing. It's a procedure that lifts your eyes. I'm not saying Tom Brady.
Well done.
I'm just saying it's what's called that maybe he does. I don't know.
Hair transplant. Obviously, he colors his hair. I'm not holding that against him whatsoever. But that's obvious. Your hair cannot stay that shade at that age.
Why did I hear Stugatz and Billy whispering to each other about doing an emergency podcast because someone stood near Drew Brees and they have a lot of questions?
Golic was on the sidelines for the Bucs game, and we don't want to ask him about the Bucs game. We want to ask him about his conversation he had with Drew Brees and the hair.
You know what's going on up there? Lettuce.
An emergency podcast
for that?
Just because Golic was near Drew Brees? What? Do you have any theories?
Would you want to wait until Friday to hear about that? Or if you could get it sooner, would you want it sooner? I mean, emergency.
What are the questions that you want to answer?
What did it look like?
Yes.
What did it feel like? Uh-huh. What did it smell like? Things like that.
Mike, I don't believe that we ever got into with any length, because this has been a wandering show today. I don't believe that you have told us why CBS had a cruddy broadcast, why you thought CBS had a cruddy broadcast. I, of course, watched the entire thing with the sound down.
Weird.
Because I guess the game was moving so fast that, like, very obvious things, like the incredible job Tommy Townsend did on that field goal just past their priorities. They didn't focus on a lot of things. And at the end, Tony Romo tried to convince everybody that the game was not over when it was a clear as day catch. It was just not a spectacular effort. Am I alone in this assessment that they kind of had a bad one?
I disagree. I think Romo's energy is great. Like, all I remember from that is how much fun he was having. It made me have more fun. I was thinking the exact opposite, actually. I was like, this is an awesome broadcast.
I think it is possible. This has happened some to Greg Gumbel. I think it is possible that everything out there is happening so fast that the broadcasters are aging too. And it's not just the referees. You're complaining about the old guys. I marveled at, we complain a lot when they spot them wrong. But man, there was a lot of good spotting of the football this weekend.
We should applaud them, the referees.
We don't do that. Stugatz, you came in here today wanting to blame everyone. We should applaud them. You never want to applaud. You were waiting for something to happen because these old guys are being surrounded by missiles. Like, think about what happened in yesterday's game. Let's just discuss this part for a second because it gets glossed over because there were a million things that happened yesterday. But Eric Weddle, who has only been called for the postseason the last couple of years out of nowhere because the Rams need an emergency guy, hits Mike Evans a little bit late. And if the ball pops up in the air, that is a play that maybe ends up with Tampa Bay at the top of the fourth quarter burying the Rams because they just keep falling apart. But instead, the Rams got the ball back just because the ball went down and hit the turf, and then the penalty on Weddle on fourth down was something that came after a dead ball instead of beforehand, which would have given Tampa the first down and the ball deep in Rams territory.
The offense benefited from those 15 yards. The Rams offense benefited from those 15 yards. If Weddle gets there a second sooner, a half second sooner, it's 15 yards. And you're right, the Bucs probably end up blowing them out.
Is it possible that so much is happening in so many places so fast that the broadcasters, who also tend to be old, are going to make mistakes too? If referees do with the whistle and everything else, that everything that's happening out there is very precise, and that we at our jobs are not as precise as the people trying to do their job down there with everyone colliding at a high rate of speed.
Or you could be just learning new rules. I mean, the rule book is obviously massive. I will tell you that in that moment, I thought that the Bucs drive had been extended by what Weddle did. I was shocked that they came to the conclusion that, no, the ball hit the ground, and
so
therefore...
I didn't know that rule.
It's actually, not just because we didn't know it, I'm not going to do that thing and say it's a dumb rule, but...
That makes sense.
It doesn't make much sense of a rule because you're penalized, you're extra penalized for it being fourth down. If it's third down, your offense sees the benefit of that yardage.
But Mike, it's essentially a dead ball.
Right.
At that point, right.
But on third down, it's not, because then they'll apply it.
Right. Well,
I didn't know the rule. Did you know the rule? I did not know the rule that it had to hit the ground, and it's the difference between this being on the other side of ball possession.
But I think you did. You knew it. You maybe didn't know like how it was applied. But yeah, when the play is over, if there's a taunting penalty or
no, but I've never seen it that bang bang is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yes, I understand that if possession has gone over, that the other team gets the ball. But in real time, as it was happening, it happened so fast that I didn't know the difference between dead ball and live ball. Is the hit has to be a second? It has to be a fraction of a tenth of a second before the ball hits the ground. I didn't think that that was something that would play out that way.
Yeah, that it was ball hitting the ground. I don't know why, but I've always assumed like after the whistle, maybe it makes sense that it's when ball hits the ground. But in that moment, I'm like, wow, Weddle, 2 years away from the game, and you made that huge mistake. And no, it's actually, if you look at it in a vacuum, great penalty to take.
Well, yeah. Weddle was also, if you noticed, if you watch the replay, Stugatz, you will see that Weddle tried at the last instinct of a moment to pull up on the hit.
Right.
But think about what you're watching, Stugatz, when that's Mike Evans. Basically, Tom Brady has a play in his playbook, and they used it a couple of times yesterday. Hey, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but let me just throw it over there and hope I get an interference call, because that dude is so,
or he'll go get it.
He's so long and everything that maybe somebody will grab his arm because he's hard to cover.
It is fascinating because if the ball had like popped up in the air and then he had hit him, it would have still been a live ball. So
correct.
It would have counted and the drive would have been extended.
Just back to CBS's broadcast for a second. I thought they had a good day, Mike. Like, I'm with Chris. I think Romo's good. He's always good. The energy is fantastic. He had a really funny line where he's talking about, and he always does this. hey, this is how legacies are made. This is a big drive. This is career defining for Josh Allen. I've been through this. I didn't have much success. That part was really, really funny, where he's kind of poking fun of himself. And then they were talking about the squib kick, and they nailed it before it even happened, where Nan says to Romo, you got to put this kick on the ground.
Again,
and Romo says,
the nailing
yeah.
of it. Again with the nailing of it.
So often.
No, Dan, they nailed it.
I mean,
no, they did before the play even happened.
But again,
that's a good job out of them. They're getting praised today.
Okay, Stugatz.
And they deserve it.
I'm just
McDermott.
Laughing at you.
That's enough.
And that you watched that game.
It cost them a game.
You watched that game. And
yeah, everyone's blaming the OT rules, and everyone feels bad for Josh Allen. How about blame the head coach? It's his responsibility for knowing the rules and knowing what to do in that spot. Not mine, not yours, not Jess's, not Mike's, not Chris, not Whittingham, not Billy.
It is Sean
McDermott's responsibility to know to squib kick there.
We are going to be hearing about this squib kick every Bills game for the next 3 years.
He should be fired. He should never coach another game again, Sean McDermott.
It's going to be the new Tim Duncan bunny.
He was so good every time KC scored, like encouraging his guys. He was so grateful. When Kansas City, how about this one, Stugatz? If you want to question coaching, you got 3rd and 1, Andy Reid. Why are you bringing in number 81 to run the option for you on 3rd and 1? When you can make it a 2-score game, but on 3rd and 1, you're going to make it the option play. You're taking the ball out of Mahomes' hands.
Right.
You're giving it to a tight end number that I've not seen before. You're having him run the option.
To Jarris McKinnon?
Jarek, we've been over this.
I like to call him Jarris. It sounds better.
I know you like to call him that. It's not his name.
I just want to marvel that Stugatz would see that game and set a record for the number of times he has said squib kick.
Yeah, terrible.
He's
job.
Right.
Thank you.
It's not even Thank a better you. Sounding name. Jarris McKinnon? It's way worse than Jarek.
I like Jarek. You like Jarek?
Why not go Jarek McKinnon? Jarris.
Jarek is an upgrade. You're right.
Is there any other time that you use the phrase squib except Never. For before a kick?
Reading Harry Potter.
So that's what you were doing. I heard Hermione. Yeah.
Not you. Not Hermione. Wait, I got it wrong.
People
Damn it.
That get it.
Not Ron, not Hermione, you, Harry. It's a meme. It's on TikTok, you guys. Come on.
The people that get it definitely get it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Chris.
We're just not those people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been waiting all your life for that opening. How do you feel? How much remorse do you feel about the fact that you finally got your chance to do the squib impersonation and you blew
Well, that
it?
Wasn't the squib. A squib is something different, Dan. What's, you would understand.
What's a squib?
A squib is a non-magical person born into a magical family. But Harry Potter's Choogy now, so we don't talk about it anymore.
He's what?
You guys used to complain about me. I mean, what's going on right now?
Did Andy Reid coin one of the greatest sports quotes ever, or did he get that from someone?
Let's play it. Let's play the sound play here. Let's play Andy Reid here with a great quote. I'm telling you, I'm being honest here. The first time I realized Andy Reid was funny is when he had a quote about how much, you know, he loves Cheese Whiz and he was making fun of himself. But here is Andy Reid talking about what happens when things get grim.
Do you have any special advice to Pat right there? Do you have any words for him at that point? When Buffalo took the lead for the last time?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper and go get it.
When it's grim, be the Grim Reaper. Like a bunch of bros are going to tattoo that on their forearms.
G-bumps. Yeah.
But I need to know, did he hear that somewhere or did he invent that on the fly? Because if so, like that's Churchill type stuff from Andy Reid.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did Andy Reid deliver a Churchill type quote?
Who's Churchill?
Let's play, speaking of coaching quotes, Mike, let's play from the weekend, Penny Hardaway. Unfortunately, he has apologized for this, but Penny Hardaway, the beleaguered Memphis coach, has cut through all the BS. Unfortunately, again, he has apologized, but I guess he was asked after Memphis lost, he was asked, I suppose, whether he was embarrassed or not, and this was his response.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of up sometimes when it comes to me. We don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
I hate that he had to apologize for that. I just love when coaches are honest.
There is only one 24-year-old player in the NCAA.
It's a total lie.
He's number 30, and he's a meteorologist for Florida State. 24 years old. You're laying it on thick there.
That's what you took from that? There were any number of things that made it. Chris Cody reacted as if his face were a punching bag, a speed bag, in backing off quote after quote because Penny Hardaway was so pissed off.
He said you guys write shitty articles, I think.
Yes. I mean, he was really mad, and this was a coach who used to be a superstar basketball player, and he's just had enough. Like, and it's like, bleep off all of you. I'm coaching these guys. I'm working hard. I'm a Hall of Famer. I don't need any of this nonsense.
But to Mike's point, I mean, every coach is coaching 18 to 19-year-old kids. There's no 20-somethings in college basketball anymore.
You have the number one recruiting class in the nation. Shut up. They're all 18.
Now you're telling him to shut up, too?
Yeah,
it's incredible 18-year-olds. In fact, I'd venture to say, if you're a 24-year-old, old playing basketball, you're not very good in college.
Your dream's over.
Yeah. And you're being a meteorologist.
Aren't the best college teams nowadays playing a lot of freshmen? Like, that's usually most teams.
Yeah, because you get them for 1 year at most. What is he doing? My guys are 18 and they're 24. Yeah, but like, you're playing Bishop Gorman.
Yes.
That's why. Like,
and he is the best of the 18-year-olds.
He's coaching his ass off, though.
He is.
Did you get an answer yet, Chris, from Tim Kirkchen on top five scoopers of all time?
Oh, my God.
I just came in, Dan.
Oh, my God.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm going to brace myself.
This
is
big. This is how we have to end the biggest football weekend of our times with the top five scoopers. Get your pen ready. Incidentally, another one of the things buried this weekend, as many were by everything that happened, you might want to pay attention. I ask you to continue to keep your eye on what it is that Dana White is doing in the UFC. Ngannou, his great champion, a heavyweight champion, headlined a card. Dana White wouldn't put the belt on him. Dana White didn't show up to the press conference afterward, and it's being reported that he is being paid about $600,000 for a fight of that stature. Usually that's a $20 million fight in the fight game when you are that kind of card draw, but he doesn't think the contracts are fair. He says he's being treated very bad by Dana White. I encourage you to just continue to keep an eye on that as Jake Paul and others show you the unfairness in the combat game, a violent game, a dangerous game. Who's getting the money? Because it's not the labor that is making the money in that sport. It's really super lopsided. And just keep an eye on that. But we will end this hour, greatest football weekend of our time, as we must. With the top five.
Oh, man.
Top five scoopers of all time at first base. Stukats has put Doug Mankiewicz in there. Yeah. I've put Andres Galarraga in there.
I have David Segui.
You have guaranteed us that who would be there?
Casey Kochman.
Let's see what we've got here. I believe you're right about this, Stukats. Number five on Tim Kirkchen's list of greatest scoopers, first base scoopers ever.
Mike Squires.
Squires.
Good luck with this list. There's not going to be a name Squires on it you recognize.
Well, was he? Did he play for the Kansas City Royals? Squires.
I know he's 69 years old now.
I think Squires was an Oakland A. I could be wrong. I'll check it out.
Right. Thank
White
you.
Sox. Career-long White Sox.
Okay. Number four.
Told you.
Sorry. We almost.
Close.
We both got it wrong. Number five. Told you. Close. Number four.
Vic Power.
Oh, Vic Power. Oh.
It's a good name.
That's one of those made-up names in Ken Griffey Jr. baseball when they only had the license for him.
And a good name. Somebody that you'd want in the middle of your lineup.
I think he was an A.
Number three.
This one brings me back. JT Snow.
Oh, good one. That is a good one. The snowman.
Vic Power was an A. Wow. He was a Kansas City Athletic.
Told you.
Number two.
Don Mattingly.
Donnie Baseball. Wow.
And the number one.
Oh my God.
Great. Hold on a second. Someone's getting robbed.
Mikhaevich, Sagi, Kochman.
I'd never understand why you write these down.
I don't know either. Throw it away in a minute.
It's just a disposable thing.
He writes them down. He's been writing them down for 20 years, and he's never kept one of them. Every time I come in the following morning, and I just sadly throw it in the garbage can because it's got some pieces of Kind Bar on it, and it's never something he takes with him.
You want a quick recap before we get to number one?
Sure.
Okay. Number five was Mike Squires, the A. His teammate, Vic Power, came in at number four. The Snowman, JT Snow, at number three. Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, at number two.
Billy, have you taken away his name now, Donnie T-Ball? You've called him for years Donnie T-Ball. Have you since rescinded that, or are you still calling him that?
Let me think on that.
Okay, great. Please get back to me with that kind of urgency.
By the way, I'm still looking into Jake from State Farm. I found no info on his athletic career presently.
Number one, the finest of all the scoopers of baseballs in the history of first baseman.
Keith Hernandez.
Oh! Or Gotchman.